Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
I can tell you that you know if somebody, you can tell if somebody's spent a lot of time in Israel when you see their reaction to a song. Bafana Modise is in studio with us. And I can tell you that this song, am I right, is taking you back to Tel Aviv.
Yeah, no, back to Tel Aviv by the beach when you're playing and you just hear this beat. You know.
How is that vibe along the beachfront?
Man.
Can you even describe it?
I'm trying to look for words to it, but it's so relaxing. You know, someone was saying, aren't these people working? It's a Tuesday afternoon.
True. It is true.
And
there's
people
always
are dancing, playing around. I think, is it volleyball? No, it's not volleyball.
Yes, they do. They have volleyball on the beach.
Yes, and then they're just having fun. Like, it's a Tuesday. You know, old men, young kids.
And I want to know how they look so good. Maybe because they don't work and they just spend their time playing volleyball. But Mukundi, even you would be jealous of like, I don't know.
The lifestyle is so easy. Riding your bike around the city, it's amazing.
It really
is. I just came back and, I want to go back again.
Well, I have to tell you, I always follow your videos and your social media, because you just somehow, you're always in a spot where you are just capturing a vibe. Anyway, it's really, really great. But let's talk about some less pleasant things, which is Durco. Yeah. So South Africa has, in the past, styled itself as a moral voice. But it's been a difficult few years. We've had Lady R. We've had ICJ case against Israel. The ICC wobbles over Taiwan. Headlines about generals praising Iran. We've had our minister, Naledi Pandor, calling Hamas. There's been a lot. But now, as South Africa chairs the G20 in 2025 under Minister Ronald Lamola, can Durco reset? Can we improve? And is there even the desire to do so? So joining me in studio, as I mentioned, is Bafana Modise. He is a national spokesperson for the South African Friends of Israel. They are calling on the GNU, the Government of National Unity, for an appointed minister to steady the ship. Right, so let's start off with reputation in terms of Durco. Where are we?
Good morning. Thanks for having me, Howard. And good morning to you at home. I think what we have seen, we started long back with when our leaders started choosing ideology over the stability of the country. I think what we have seen over the years is the government, the ANC government, choosing their party policy, party foreign policy, over the interest of the people. What we have seen is that South Africa has suffered a jobs bloodbath. We have a lot of people losing their jobs. There's a lot of this fight between Pretoria and the USA. And all of this is due to Durco taking stands that are not necessarily popular and not necessarily for the benefit of our people. So where are we? We are at the point where we see Durco today having a program every month on Palestine. We are at the point where the minister, Naledi Pandor, has been using Durco to push this agenda. And I think one would have thought that after all this heckle within Trump and Pretoria, we will know where our chief of the army was doing, for him to go to Iran and say we have shared values with Iran. I think that is something to show that there is no will on the other side to really fix things. So hence we are calling for a more moderate leader, a more moderate minister, to really take South Africa back to its glory days, being a moral voice, being a mediator. How are we left out of Egypt? Definitely. We are at the forefront of this with the ICJ case and all that has unfolded all over globally, accusing Israel of genocide. But then when the leaders came together in Egypt, South Africa was absent. We were merely reduced to a spectator. So it clearly shows that even our stance or our respect and reputation in global affairs is not taken as serious.
Where does Cyril Ramaphosa, the president, stand with all of this? Because we can see that there's, with Naledi Pandor, who's a very strong personality leading Durco, clearly very, very agenda-driven in terms of her own ideology and political stance.
Yes.
We could see her influence. But There's also a president who needs to take responsibility, and I don't want to make excuses for him.
Yes.
He has been absolutely appalling with regard to his one-sided and blinkered view of this conflict.
Yes.
He's very clearly parroting press statements that he's given to read. Mm. Where does he really stand on this? Does he believe what he's saying? Is he a puppet? What do you think is really going on there?
For me, this program seems like it's a campaign rather than anything else. And how does this show? We had leaders meeting in Egypt to discuss a way forward in Gaza. And we had programs of the ANC protesting. What are they protesting against? If there is a peace on the way and there's some solution that has been put on board. What you have seen with the president is that he has been known to be indecisive. But also, again, one could say he can easily say, I'm shocked in the next couple of days. So where we are standing right now, we have a president who is not really in charge of the state as we would expect him to be, who is not really putting the interests of our people at the front beyond the party policy. And if this continues unabated, South Africans will continue to suffer as a result of his indecisiveness, or rather as a result of him not taking South Africa as a priority than global politics.
And if you look at even what happened with the ambassador to the United States, who was rejected, all of this is just, it was obvious that it had to happen.
Yes.
But does that mean that they've created this echo chamber within Durko and the ANC, that they don't hear what is going on outside of that own echo chamber? Mm. Or are they just so blinded by their hatred of the West and Western democratic values, of Christian, Judeo-Christian values, that they are prepared to give up everything?
As I started saying, it's ideology over investments, ideology over the people of South Africa. But at the same time, one would really wonder, what is their plan? What is their second option? If the West cuts the door on us completely, can you really rely on Russia? Can you really rely on China? Can you really rely on these countries that are named as our best allies? When you look at it and you start to wonder that if South Africans today don't really push for a balanced foreign policy, and look at South Africa, look at now with the Madlanga Commission.
Mm.
Even the party itself cannot be trusted by global investors to say, how can we put money? Yet people are stealing hospitals. People are stealing money meant for hospitals. And this is all shows that unless there's a new minister there that is Deco appointed, who is balanced in his worldview, that is the only way South Africa can survive what is coming, because it could be worse than what we are today.
In terms of reach and overreach, Durko is definitely behaving in a way that impacts on South Africans on the ground, as you've said.
Yes.
Economically, from many, many different aspects, South Africans' lives are being made worse because of the decisions of Durko.
Yes.
How does it work to challenge them if there is overreach? Because surely they should be promoting, their job surely is to promote the best interest of South Africa and South Africans. If they are making phone calls to Hamas, aligning with Iran's ideology, mm-hmm. Hiding what's on a vessel that comes into South Africa, how does that, surely they could be challenged on that.
The sad reality, Howard, is that the time where we used to believe that the government is for the people by the people is long gone. Our leaders, they are playing their survival games. They are playing political games. You look at what the ANC has become, their assets being frozen, every leader tainted in some corruption scandal there and there. So this is no longer about the people. It's about what works for them. It's a campaign for them. It gives them money. But sadly, it's our people that are suffering, and they are posturing, let's be honest. They're just posturing as the strong moral voice in South Africa. But they went as an entourage to Trump to go and beg for mercy and try to fix relations after they have told Trump, keep your America, we'll keep all South Africa.
Well, that's it.
And then it's they switched around and said, childish. No, let's rather work around these issues and stuff. So clearly, there is the sense of posturing, but also it's ideological. It has nothing to do with South Africans. It's more about the party and its interest and less about the survival of this country. Investment is critical as we speak right now. Our people need jobs. We need to really start to get the ball going. That's why the minister that is more balanced would be better than having an ANC ideological-led leader in DECO.
We are chatting to Bafana Modiso. We'll be back after we're going to take, we'll take a break. We'll take some ads. We'll be back with Bafana Modiso. Just a quick one. Stephen says South Africa is a modern-day B'nai Israel, children of Egypt. They were the children of Israel. They were taken out of Egypt completely. Yeah, they were. And Bianca, I do see your messages. Apologies that I have not got to them.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
It is 8:49. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning. We are chatting in studio to Bafana Modiso, and we're talking about DECO, trying to understand. Certainly, we've established that they don't have, that DECO no longer has the credibility perhaps it once did, being left out of Egypt completely. And although South Africa had inserted itself into the Palestinian or the war, perhaps it's clear that they are not a neutral party, and so were not included in Egypt in the Egypt summit, which must have been very, very embarrassing for them. I can't imagine how well that went down. Bafana Modiso asking and saying that what is needed is a minister in DECO that is chosen by the GNU and not one that simply aligns with the ideology of DECO, which negatively impacts South Africans. Bafana, it would be better to have somebody there that is a balanced voice. The concern that I would have around this is it's about ideology and not a personality. In other words, would a GNU minister be able to influence something that an ideology that is seems so embedded in the culture of the organization, of the department?
I think one would have to wonder. I think somebody said if you go to DECO today and you look at all the office bearers, and most of them, they are truly pro-Palestine. So apart from a political appointment, you still have professional staffs who are pushing this, number one being Zain Dengo, right? So one would say you need to restructure all of that, but maybe that can take time. But I think once you have a minister who can then come with his own personality, who can have his own voice to say, this is how I will take the department going forward, then maybe people like Zain Dengo will learn to toe the line. We cannot have a director general like Zain Dengo speaking so blindly against Israel, speaking so, what's the word to use? In a message of hate and not in a message of how, as a nation, as a country, he's imposing his personal views as the views of the department. And I think that has been the issue that we have seen with people like him in DECO. So the ideology, yes, is fully embedded. But I think with a leader that has a different vision and a different position, he's then able to impose his plans and policy to safeguard South Africa from this what we are seeing today, which is us drowning either in job losses, in dysfunctionality, and also losing our moral voice globally. The South Africa of Nelson Mandela, the one that spoke of mediation, reconciliation, bringing people together, is no longer there. Now we are known as enemies of Israel, as friends of Iran. And that was never the position of South Africa. Our position has always been that wherever we are in the world, we are going to mediate and bring peace and bring people together, while also prioritizing the interest of our people in South Africa for their own survival.
Would you say, in your view, that DECO has been captured either by an ideology or something else?
I think I wouldn't say just ideology. I think there are also foreign interests here that have captured DECO. it just doesn't make sense. We have so many things happening in Africa. There's a Nigerian genocide happening right now of Christians, and Deko has not been quite vocal about it. There is issues in Mozambique. There is issues in the DRC Congo. Within the continent, there is something just next door in Zimbabwe. There's no program around that. But you have a Deko that has a program on Palestine on monthly basis. So clearly this, for some reason, is a campaign for them. And that has been led for what agenda, only God knows. But clearly there is capturing that has taken place with Deko. It's not about just ideology. I think also it's self-interest.
Have our press played any positive role in questioning this? Or have they simply repeated the Deko talking points?
Howard, it's very sad that ever since October 7th, we have never had any radio station here speaking about the hostages in Gaza. It's very sad that...
Aside from us, obviously.
Apart from Chai, you know.
Right, exactly.
Right, we have never seen a push to question even the Palestinian Authority, to say where are the billions that have been sent to Palestinian Authority over the years. There is no accountability on the other side to question these things. Why is South Africa so hell-bent on this issue? Why not a Middle Eastern country? We have seen with, I'm sorry to say this, you have Daily Maverick as well. We have different media houses that just reports things as they get them.
From Hamas.
And there is no credible reporting around this issue. So we would have hoped that media would go back to his glorious days where we can have both sides of the coin and the reader make his own conclusion. But lately we are led to believe something. When you read a newspaper about Israel, you are told this must be your position. This is the truth. And not necessarily for you to say, here are the both coins. We have not seen much of the Israeli people.
No, you haven't at all. I mean, yes. That's every now and then you'll get something. In fact, I counted this morning on News 24, they repeated the same headline three times about, which obviously shows Israel in a bit of a negative way. They repeated that same headline three times in different parts of their online. But around the ceasefire, there was barely a mention.
It's more like they're disappointed. I was like, but where's the excitement? Where is the joy? You've been fighting for Palestinians all this time. Now there is peace. Where is the joy? Seems like there's only the Israelis who are celebrating, but the other guys were disappointed.
So
and it's surprising to say, how
it
can you
so
claim
true.
To care about Palestinians, but when they get what you've been fighting for, now there's no uproar, there is no joy, there is no celebration. So even our media, one has to question to say, what is the agenda here? How come that there is no credible reporting around this issue? We don't see a lot of Jews going on social, on the TV stations and arguing their case.
Because we've been removed.
My point is, look at that place. Who questioned Ramphele Mamphele about how do you then liken this thing to Holocaust? And for her just to credibly question, she was taken off air. So clearly there's a certain agenda that's been run around the media space. But I think as the collective, as the Israeli lobby, we should never be tired of continuing to press forward to ensure that the truth gets to the people. And Safi and other organizations are here to do that.
Bafana Modise, you certainly have been an incredible, incredible support, an incredible friend. And I would absolutely, I would like to thank you, certainly on behalf of many people who are comforted and strengthened by your support and by your words. That's Bafana Modise from the South African Friends of Israel.